Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, this summer we've been looking at the promises of God, and today we're going to look at one of the big ones, one of the real big ones that answers some of the big questions of life. We're going to look at God's promise that tells us that in death there is life. And in order to do that, we need to look to Jesus, this one who died and rose again for us so that we can now know the way to eternal life, this way of salvation. And in our text for today, Jesus assures us that there is a place at his table for all who will enter through the narrow door, who will put their faith in him. For there, we will all gather together. We will know our destination once and for all as we gather together in God's kingdom. Hear these words of Jesus, and people will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. Well, several years ago, I received an urgent call to visit a dying man in the hospital. Now, I didn't know Brad real well. I knew, though, he was sick. I knew his time in this world was coming to an end. I also knew that he had, along the way, made peace with God through Jesus, his Savior. Now, even though I hurried to get to the hospital, I didn't make it in time. As I entered the room, I could tell it just happened. As I looked in, I noticed it was quiet. The family was there hugging and crying and grieving. Brad's lifeless body lay on the bed. The machines that were keeping it alive were now silenced. That's when Brad's wife noticed me and, looking up through her tears, said to me, "He just left. He just left." You see, Brad silently slipped out. He exited. He disappeared. He departed. One moment here, the next moment gone. He passed, not away, but on. Yet when we hear those words, when we find ourselves in that situation, we wonder, don't we? Where did he pass? And in what form, into what place? And in what manner? And once there, where he got to his destination, what did he see? What did he know? What did he do? Well, I think it's true, all of us, we want to know our destination, don't we? We want to understand, we want to know, we long to know what comes next. Well, it could be fair to say that the answers vary, don't they? Some people will say nothing happens, right? Death is the end, and that's it. Back to the ground we go, never to be heard from again. Others believe, though, that we will return in another form, reincarnated as a cow or as a bird, depending on how we lived in this life. Yet others believe that we're just part of the universe. We simply become what we were before we were what we are. Okay. But you see, Jesus promises us so much more. Jesus promises us joy in sorrow. Jesus promises us hope in heartache. Jesus promises us life in death. For you see, by his death and resurrection, we who were once dead in our trespasses and sins have been made alive again. For in Jesus, we have a God who is putting it all together for us. A God who answers our questions. A God who points us in the right direction. A God who gives us unshakable hope as we face death and the grave. For you see, in Jesus, we have a God who saves. As he gives us life now. Right here in this place. We saw it here this morning in the miracle of holy baptism. God took Henry, who was dead in his sins, and made him alive again right here and right now. But you see, this life, Jesus promises us, it goes on and on and on for all of eternity. Because joined to our resurrected Jesus, we have the very promise of our God. The promise of our God that says there is life in death. Because you see, we have a God who is a promise maker. Over and over and over again in the pages of Scripture, God makes promises to us, his children. And what a compilation of promises they are when you start looking at them. Promises that assure us of his blessings. Promise of forgiveness of our sins. Promise of life. Promise of salvation. But it's not promises that just impact us in the future. They're promises that impact us now. Promises of God's protection in our lives and his providence over our lives. Promises. These promises of God that can actually change us right here and right now. But here's the thing about our God, more than just a promise maker. Our God is a promise keeper. He does what he says he's going to do. And here's the good news for us. He's doing a new thing for you and for me. You see, he's in the process, as we heard from the author of the book of Hebrews, he's in the process of molding and changing us. The author of Hebrews used the word discipline, and we like kind of step back from that, but really it's molding and changing us so that we can actually be the people that God made us to be. His sons and his daughters, the very children of God who understand what's coming, so that we can live right now with unshakable hope. And that's why over the last few months, we've been focusing on some of the promises of God. And today we're turning to a big one, like I said. Today we are trusting in God's promise that death is not the end, but rather the doorway to eternal life in Jesus. Just listen to God's promise to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. Take it in. It's not many words. Here's what it says. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's God's promise to you and to me. And now God invites us to grab a hold of that promise. To hold on to that promise when death comes. To look to him for understanding. To look to him for salvation. To come to him to experience this new way of life right now. And this new way of life for all of eternity. For you see, in Jesus, God's Son and our Savior, we have the fulfillment of this promise. Because Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves. He overcame death and the grave. And by doing so, he assures us that God keeps his promises. He assures us that he gives us so what we so desperately need so that we can stand on these promises, even in a world of uncertainty, as we start to actually live them out. Not just hearing them in one ear and letting it come out the other, but actually taking in these promises and standing on them. Standing on them, knowing that as we do it, it changes us. It changes who we are. It changes how we live. It changes how we interact with others. That as followers of Jesus, we're different because we have a hope that goes beyond this world. Yeah, there's pain, there's heartache, there's uncertainty, but we're standing. We're standing on the promises of God, and as a result, we're standing with hope, unshakable hope, that we are privileged to share with others who aren't. To share with people whose lives are all freaked out and who are struggling to understand and looking for something. To our neighbors, the people God brings into our lives. To the next generation who's searching for something. We have the privilege to share these promises and stand with unshakable hope as we do, knowing that because Jesus overcame death and the grave, we can live a new kind of life now and for all of eternity. As in Jesus, it all comes together as it all starts to make sense. Now, for those of you who've ever had to sit in church with young children or stand in church with young children, you know what a challenge it can be. I must say, I don't. I never had to sit in church with small children. My wife did, and I heard about it. But I didn't have that privilege, you know. But it can be challenging, especially when the pastor goes on and on and on. It can be challenging as you try to have them sit still, and they kind of squirm and move because that's what little kids do. And you try to have them be quiet, and they chatter and they squawk as you try to get them to listen to you, and they just don't seem to respond. Well, recently I heard the story about a young boy who just would not heed his father's warnings in church. And he kept going on and on that Sunday morning, causing trouble, stirring up mischief, and being, I guess you could say, downright disobedient. So much so that the father had to take the little boy out of church. And I must say, from what I understand, it was quite a scene because the little boy didn't want to go. And as he was kind of being pulled out, he looked up at his dad. He knew what was coming, so he started to pull back a little bit more. And at just the right moment, when they were near the back of the church, when there was a point of silence, complete silence in the service, the little boy yelled out at the top of his lungs, "Somebody save me!" Well, that isn't the first, and it won't be the last person who comes to church looking for something. Looking for help when we don't know where else to turn. Looking for answers when nothing makes sense. Looking for directions so that we can truly know our final destination. Well, you see, in Jesus, we have one who puts it all together for us. One who can help, one who has answers, one who gives us a destination as we follow Jesus, Roman numeral 1, the way to life. You see, it was a Sunday morning after the Friday execution. The sky was dark, the disciples had scattered. The women had come to the tomb expecting to find Jesus' body there. I mean, they had seen him die. They watched as nails were driven into his hands, as a spear was stuck in his side. Jesus was dead. He was buried in a tomb. They witnessed it with their own eyes. But something miraculous happened that morning as they made their way to the tomb. As the angels revealed to them the good news, Jesus wasn't there. He was risen. He was alive. On that Easter Sunday, that first Easter Sunday, death, you see, had been swallowed up in victory. And that victory, Jesus' victory, is ours, as Jesus points, number one, as Jesus shows us the way. You see, what God did for Jesus, he will do for us. When Jesus rose from the dead, the scripture says that he was the first fruits. That means he was the first to overcome death and the grave. And as a result of that, you and I, we can now anticipate our own resurrection by viewing the resurrection of Christ. Yes, indeed, the grave brings sorrow, but it need not bring despair. The tomb could not hold Christ, and since Christ is in you, you will not be long in the tomb. In keeping with his promise, you and I, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Everything new, the old will be gone. Gone with hospital waiting rooms. Gone with tear-stained divorce papers. Gone with loneliness, foreclosure notices, and abuse. Gone with cancer. Gone with death. For our God is a God of renewal and redemption and regeneration and resurrection. Our God is a God of life. And this life can be ours now. As point number two, as Jesus invites us to follow him. To follow him to the cross. As we die to ourselves and live for him. As we hear his call. As we trust in his plan. As we humble ourselves, seeing our need, confessing our sin. As we enter through the narrow door. For it's here at the cross that Jesus, you see, carried our sin. It's here at the cross that Jesus took our punishment. It's here at the cross that Jesus died our death. You see, here at the cross, Jesus, he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And now he gives life in death. And this life is ours now. As point number three, Jesus keeps his promises. As he wins the victory, as he wins our victory. And as a result of this, let this hope for tomorrow bring strength for today. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, not just to show us his power, but also to reveal to us our path. As Jesus reveals Roman numeral 2, as he reveals the way of life. The way of life that is ours even now. And you see what a life it can be. I don't know if you heard about the woman who was recently married. It was a beautiful day and a wonderful ceremony. And not wanting it to be over, as I would imagine most brides and grooms feel, and wanting to get her money's worth out of her wedding dress, she didn't box it up and put it in the closet like most people do. Instead, she decided she was going to keep on wearing it. And so she did, to a neighborhood barbecue. And she wore it to a concert. And she even wore it to run some errands around the neighborhood. And the crazy thing is, people just loved it. They would smile at her, and they would talk with her, and they would congratulate her on this new way of life. But more than just bringing joy to others, she said it helped her live out her marriage in ordinary times of life. We too can live out the hope that we have in the ordinary times of life as we, point number one, set our eyes above. As we live in the victory that is ours, in our troubles and in our fears and in our failures, knowing that because Jesus lives, ours is the victory. Death has been swallowed up. That's the promise. We have a future. We have a destination where there will be no mourning or crying or heartache or pain. Where it all comes together, where it all makes sense once and for all. But until that day, we can live in the way of life, God's way of life for us, as we, point number two, as we live in the present, as we learn to live differently. Wearing, I guess you could say, our wedding gown, because you and I, we're the bride of Christ, aren't we? Wearing that wedding gown as we live differently, with a calm that comes from knowing that we have a God who keeps his promises. With a trust that enables us to follow Jesus, even when it's hard and even when it doesn't make sense, even when it might seem like the wrong way. But we can live differently with a joy that comes from knowing that we have a seat at the table and we can invite our friends to join in on this celebration. As we all know, it's just another part of life. Death. But you see, in Jesus, it all comes together. For death has been swallowed up in victory. And as those who are following Jesus together, we can really live life now and for all of eternity. Because we know our destination. Amen. Now may God's peace, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. At this time, we'll gather up our offering. You can take a moment, talk to the people around you. What's something grabbed you this morning as we're taking up our offering? One thing that grabbed you, something you can take with you from the message or the service that you can take with you this week. Talk about it. You can talk about it. That's fine. We can talk in church. It's not a problem. We'll grab up our offering.